Hey, what's going on, Table Breakers? Welcome to another episode of 7-1 Blitz. I'm here with Doug and DJ. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Not a much.
You guys ever get a raise? And has it ever been worth like $100 million?
I wish.
No? Just the
Unfortunately
fun.
Not.
All right.
I wish.
Cool. All right, so no personal experiences to share with this news, but we'll try to do our best. Bills lock up Stephon Diggs for, I guess you could say, arguably the remainder of his best years, at least.
Yeah.
Josh keeps his number one, and we got our tandem for the next, for the foreseeable future. DJ, what do you think about this signing?
I mean, it was inevitable, right? Like he wasn't going anywhere, even though there were some people in Bills Mafia that thought, you know, he was going to get traded and his cryptic tweets and stuff. But I mean, let's be real. The dude was never, he was never going anywhere.
Ever. That's how people do business now.
Yeah. He was just fucking around having fun. He knew he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I think the best part about it is like Whaley made those comments yesterday.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Bean's like, nah, fuck this shit. Call Stephon. Let's sign this shit and get it done. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think it makes sense. You know, it's probably Josh's best years of his career, and then he's going to have his number one guy for those years. So, how can you not like it? And the money's whatever. It ends up being like the fourth or fifth highest annual. It's like 20.7 annually. It's not
bad. And there's a ton of incentives, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like loaded towards like the back end.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. They'll restructure it a couple times before that anyways to keep people around.
I like how players nowadays, they're like holding laser pointers and fans are like cats with these tweets and like we chase it like, oh my God, he's going to get traded. Something's going to happen and they sign. I just like how that's the trend nowadays.
It's really odd because now, you know, then there's like on the flip side, which I'm not going to really dive into because I don't think there's anything to dive into, but the Jordan Poyer stuff now, everyone's like freaking out about Jordan Poyer.
It just shows how melodramatic the fan base is.
Yeah, it's like, well, yo, let us enjoy the
Diggs. I think it's all NFL fans, to be honest.
I know, it's weird because, like, that's how what we must look for the last 20 years, bitching and pissing and moaning about players, and then we see other teams doing it, and then we do it still. And yeah, I don't know. I don't – like, let's enjoy the Diggs thing for a day before we talk about Poyer.
It's like, guys, it's a phone app. It's all it is. It's going to be okay.
But Jordan Poyer did get a new agent, though. So that's still – it's
it's AB. He wants to get paid, and he's going to get paid. He's an all-pro. He's going to get paid.
And I think they'll be just fine because –
They will be fine. They'll pay him, and he'll be around, and it'll be all okay.
Until Ballsack Sports makes an article saying that Jordan Poyer has interest in signing with the Jets, then everyone's going to have a heart attack about it.
Can everyone block Ballsack Sports? Is that like a thing? Can we just make that thing disappear? People are so dumb. They even fall for that shit.
No, it'll be over once Doug Whaley talks about Jordan Poyer.
Yeah.
Once you get signed, then everything will be just fine. I'll be like, oh, thank God.
Well, we know people watch us. So, Doug Whaley, if you're watching this right now, why don't you talk about Jordan Poyer next?
Hell, talk about Micah too.
Micah, didn't he re-sign his extension last year?
I just saw both them talking about Poyer and Hyde, so it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hyde said if Poyer leaves, there a package deal he wants to leave with him.
Do we dare talk about Tremaine Edmonds? Holy shit.
I was just about to bring up Tremaine.
We'll get people all kinds of hot and bothered with that kind of talk.
Well, I think our next topic is going to rile that up. Yeah, I mean – we know what Stephon Diggs is. We know what it brings to the table. I'm not surprised by this signing at all. And if you are, I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you. We know what this means for the team, for Josh, for Stephon himself. I really don't have much more to add unless you guys have something you want to say about Diggs or the contract or anything.
Diggs, good receiver. He will retire
contract.
As a Bill.
Contract.
Now, wait a minute. I mean, before you start spewing that controversy, all right? Do you have at least two confirmed sources for that?
Three.
Okay.
My glasses.
Do your glasses
my Buffalo Bills helmet and my asshole.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, moving on. This is Twitter After Dark now, so that's great.
The sun's still kind of out. Just a little bit.
So yeah, I mean, good contract, good for the team, good for the city. He'll be still a Bill when that new stadium opens. Let's enjoy it. It's been a great offseason so far, and it's only April. So
now let's get to the best part of the offseason.
Well,
yeah. If the honestly, forget the season. If we could just draft once a month and just simulate the gameplay, that'd be awesome.
I'd be absolutely 100% down. No, hear me out. A draft after each week. Jesus, like week Christ. One, you have to redraft. Then it really turns your drafting skills into an absolute needed.
So just a little bit of a rundown of how we're going to do this. So we're each going to give our first three picks for the Bills draft. This isn't necessarily what each of us like. This isn't necessarily all of our first choices. We all wanted to go in different directions, so we're not all saying the same thing. So, like, for example, if Doug goes one direction with his first pick, don't expect me to go in the same direction, even though I might somewhat agree with him. We just want to bring some versatility to this and just explain the different directions the Bills can go in this thing, because you really never know with these things. So with that, are you guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, am I up first?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So round one for me, I have linebacker Nakobe Dean.
Oh.
Wait for it.
Wait, it's coming. There he is.
There he is. Nakobe Dean just won a national championship with Georgia. This year he had six sacks along with two interceptions and I think 72 combined tackles. He really had a breakout year. He was a big part of that Georgia defense that won the national title. They're going to have a lot of players go to the NFL. Bills could go in a few different directions with this pick. I'm not saying linebacker should be the first thing that they should address, but at the same time, if that's the best player available and he's there and you have those question marks about Tremaine Edmonds, like we just discussed, and you let go of Klein not too long ago. I know these are kind of different types of players, but at the same time, still at the linebacker position. He's a run stopper. He can blitz from the middle if he wants to, and he could cover running backs out of the backfield. He's a shorter guy. He's about 5'11", so kind of the opposite of Tremaine, who's kind of this huge, like, freak of nature type guy. But that might be better for covering running backs out of the backfield who are maybe a little smaller and quicker and just being able to tackle them. So, again, if there's those question marks about Tremaine and you don't know if you're going to pay him after this year with the salary cap situation, this could be a good situation to draft Nakobe Dean, pair him with Tremaine Edmonds, see how it works, and then if you do move on, you have a solid replacement. Or if you do keep him, then you have one of the best young linebacking cores in the NFL. So that's my take on Mr. Nakobe Dean. And, again, not saying this should be their first choice, but it is one way they can go should they decide if the draft unfolds this way.
Yeah, I dig it. I like it.
All right, and I'm next.
Good for you.
I know, right?
What are you doing? We got dead air now. What are you doing?
All right. So what I think the first pick's going to be is Trent McDuffie, cornerback out of Washington. And I kind of went with what most Bills fans is like a no-brainer because, like, I think right now corner is, like, our number one position of need. You know, Tre'Davious White's not even going to be back until who knows when, middle of the season, maybe a few weeks in. We just lost Levi Wallace to the Steelers. And the corner class is actually very good. There's obviously Sauce Gardner, Stingley, who are obviously unreachable, but then there's other guys like Roger McCreary, Clear Elam from Florida, and even Trent McDuffie's teammate, Kyler Gordon, who also went to Washington. And the reason why I chose Trent McDuffie was because he was the most versatile out of all the other picks. Not only was he great in man coverage and zone coverage, but he was fantastic. He had the best grade in run support as well. So he could play as like an outside corner. He could play in the slot. He can play in the nickel. And he can even, and you can even go down there in a safety role as well. And I think that would be the best direction for the Bills, because like there's like so many questions for like this corner room right now with wiping out there. I think you really want someone where, worst case scenario, knock on wood, that someone does get hurt, he can just go right in there and fit in whatever position that Bean would like him in. And the only weakness that he, from what I was able to find, was like his wingspan. And that kind of comes into effect where like there's long balls, and then he can actually, where he doesn't really have like the length to like stop like those contested catches. But he's young, and he has all of his skills kind of make up where he has the framework and like the footwork to really make up for that. And plus, he's still young and he can absolutely develop those skills. And I just think that it's an absolute fit. He's I think it's a player that Bean especially likes. And the last thing about him is that like he only has two picks in college football. And people are going like, what the heck? Where is that? But that was because against Washington, teams did not throw against them, because that's always been Washington's like bread and butter, having great corners and safeties, and like their fronts, all they did was run the ball. So like he really didn't really have that. There weren't really that many chances for him to intercept. But when he did, he looked fantastic. So I just think it's a great fit, and that's kind of everything I have to say about him.
DJ, before you go, I think people learned with Trevon Diggs.
Yeah.
That interceptions don't always tell the story. You could have a lot of interceptions, but let up the most yards at the same time. And then you look at guys like Jair Alexander, they don't get a lot of picks, but they allow like 30 yards on the entire year because no one throws to them. I think people learned that this year. So that's something to always take into consideration with that position.
Yeah, that's the last thing, because Kyler Gordon statistically had a better year than Trent McDuffie. That was because he was thrown more too. So, so that's, he's still a great player, but I think Trent McDuffie is more polished and more NFL ready. All right.
Well, you guys know, before we throw my pick on the screen, there's no way my analysis is going to be anywhere near as in depth as that. So,
that's good considering this is the most controversial pick.
I'm not gonna back it up with facts at all. It's all right, it's an opinion.
It's coming.
My pick, obviously, everyone knows I beat the drum last year for Travis Etienne. This year it's no different. It's gonna be Breece Hall. The only thing I can say about him is I would compare him to, you know, Joe Mixon. I think he's really comparable to a Joe Mixon type back. Last year he runs for 1400 yards and 20 touchdowns. He's got a burst of speed. His 3 years in college, his long run each year was 75, 75 and 80. So you get a guy who can make Josh's job a little bit easier. You know, he can catch the ball too. He had 80 something receptions in college, for like a total of almost like 900 yards, in 3 years. It's pretty good. Last year he had 36 receptions for 302. And he breaks them. I mean, he averaged 8.4 per reception. Again, it's a weapon that Josh could use. I know everyone hates the first round running back. But there's a difference between a guy who's taken typically in the first round versus a guy who's taken the third or fourth. We're so close to, you know, being that team and having very few weaknesses. Breece Hall addresses, in my opinion, a weakness that we do have. I think for me, it's Breece Hall with the pick. Obviously, I'm not a GM for probably this reason exactly, but.
There might be a few others, but that's okay. I mean, the thing, you don't draft a running back in the first round anymore. It's true when you're rebuilding a team, but I think in unique situations, there are exceptions. So, I mean, it's not a complete 100%. You should never absolutely not do it. But I know you never know what it guarantees you, but in a situation where it does guarantee you a chip and you just, you know, have a guy for a rookie contract who you took in the first round. Oh, well,
And who knows? And obviously, Bean knows more about this draft class than us. So, like, maybe there are like some. Well, maybe he finds like a gem cornerback, maybe like a gem offensive lineman, or even a gem wide receiver. Like, okay, no, what we can definitely get them in this round. So let's get our running back this first round. So in that scenario,
are you implying that Bean does more than just YouTube these guys?
Apparently not. Well, I don't know, man.
Wait, you guys use YouTube?
I actually use MySpace.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I was looking through newspaper clippings.
On to round two?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
So my second round pick is, I'm going to butcher his last name. It's Jalen Pitre.
Yeah, it's popping up, so you have to read it.
Yeah, defensive back out of Baylor. He is originally a safety, but he can play both positions. And I think in this defense that McDermott runs, not everything is always traditional. Like, we have to have these traditional safeties and these traditional corners always line up in this specific spot. You see a lot of nickel. You see a lot of guys moving around. Sometimes you see the safeties play man coverage and, you know, different zone stuff. So it's always something that's moving around to keep offenses on their toes out of that very talented group. And this guy, honestly, like, if you watch some of his stuff, he's a ball hawk. He's not afraid to tackle guys in the middle, go in the middle of the field, and hit receivers that are bigger than him. I think he's only like 5'11", so he's not that big, but he's still making big hits. And this dude can fly, too. I think he ran like a 4.4, but game speed looks like he runs like a 4.2, to be completely honest with you. He's really versatile as a defensive back. I think you could put him wherever, and he can make plays. I mentioned him earlier, but just because of his size and like his attitude and like his ability to kind of do everything, kind of reminds me of Jair Alexander a little bit, even though he is traditionally a safety and Jair is traditionally a corner. But I think you could plug this guy in anywhere. With Trey coming off the ACL, he might be able to fill that spot. And then maybe one day if the safeties get old and retire or something happens to them, he could fill in there too. I think you could honestly plug him in wherever in the secondary. And I think he'd be a great addition to the defense.
Beautiful.
It's a good pick.
Have a good pick. Versatile, plus helps with our safety situation as well. Well, and it would be a great pick to really help with it, because obviously we don't – well, Mike and Hyde and Poirier are going to stick around for a while, but it'll be nice to know that we have, like, that piece.
It's kind of a two birds, one stone situation. You get a second potential second corner and a potential future safety. So, I mean.
I like it.
All right. So, my pick now. I kind of went in the DJ direction, except in the second round. And I decided to go with Isaiah Spiller, running back from Texas A&M. And I know that the sexy pick is Breece Hall, obviously, but I really watched a lot of tape on him. And I really think that, number one, I feel like in the situation where we don't trade up in the second round, he will still be there, because, like, he's projected late second round, early third round. So I think that this is, like, the best slate where it's, like, the most realistic that we can get it back. But honestly, I really think that he's everything that we really needed. It's like, he's really, like, all the thing that he's the best at is a third and fourth down conversions, fourth and ones, third and ones. That is, like, the thing that we really have been missing, where instead of having to rely on Allen, I think this guy can actually develop and turn into what we always needed. And his numbers, I mean, he had, let's look here. He had around 1,200 yards in the 2021 season, and the tape didn't really speak for all of it because the Texas A&M offense wasn't really that great, and so he faced a lot of full boxes. So, but now he's going to be put right into an offense where there's weapons all over, and I think that obviously if we get our offensive line together, I think that he can absolutely plow through. And plus, he was really underrated. He had around 45 catches for 200 yards. And I really think that he can do absolutely everything. And obviously I don't see Zach Moss, as like the go-to guy. So, and I think he'd honestly, I think he could actually be what Zach Moss was supposed to be. where he can actually take the third and fourth ones and actually, and it has fantastic vision. And plus he breaks tackles. I think that it's an absolute good fit here.
Yeah. I don't hate the pick. I think it's a good.
Yeah. Pick. It's really like, I also wanted to choose Kenneth Walker here, but, I think Isaiah Spiller had a bit more of balanced resume where like he had consistent yards in each year while like Kenneth Walker kind of exploded. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, not taking away from Kenneth Walker, but I think I'd rather have someone who is consistent from year to year instead of just breaking out after 1 year.
Fair.
All right, now we're going to DJ's pick.
Okay. So I like me a big old target. And this dude is big. He's 6'5", 210 pounds. Christian Watson from North Dakota State. Just a huge target for Josh. I feel like, you know, I know Gabe Davis came on, you know, and did what he did in the playoffs and all of that. But I really do think we need maybe one more weapon for the future. You know, I think this guy, he fits the bill. He's pretty fast. He's big. He can stretch the field. Like his long last year was 85 yards. So he can boom too. So I don't know. There's not much to say. I just like a big target. And with him being 6'5", you know, that's if the Bills, let's say, decide not to, you know, extend Dawson Knox or re-sign Dawson Knox for some crazy reason. At least this dude's a big target, you know, that frame is pretty big and he's lean. He's not like, you know, 6'5", 210 it's pretty light for a guy who's 6'5". I'm 6'3", 230. So he's a pretty lean guy. So, yeah, I think this would be a good pick.
Well, Christian Watson doesn't eat wing nuts.
Oh, that's obvious. Look at the guy in this picture. He's fucking chiseled. I am not. I have a wing nuts body. So, yeah, like this is for me, this is a pick. I'm going running back, wide receiver. I know whatever defense and all that stuff, but yeah, I want guys on offense. Your $250 million quarterback needs all the weapons he can get. And this is just another weapon he can utilize.
I actually have Christian Watson as the second most versatile wide receiver right next to Treylon Brooks from Arkansas, where he can work as an outside receiver. He can work in the slot. He's a great route runner. He can catch those contested catches. So yeah, I really do love this pick too.
Here, before we go on, we got Joey on Facebook saying we're moving up and taking Hot Sauce Gardner in the first round. So what do you guys think? I mean, this has been it's been talked about.
I mean, that'd be great. Yeah. But I see some mocks where he goes 4 to the Jets or like anywhere from 4 to, I just don't know what the price would be to move from 25 into the top 10 and how much is he worth to, let's say, I mean, you're probably shipping off your next year's first round pick to go with it. And if, first of all, the Jets will not give you the pick, that's for sure. So if they intend to take him at 4, you're done.
Yeah.
But anything after that, you're giving up this year's first for sure, next year's first, and probably additional stuff. So I don't know. I mean, would that be great? Yeah, but I don't know if it matches the price that it would cost.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I know there's been talk about them getting maybe rid of, you know, trading at maybe Epineza or one of those defense ends because we're pretty loaded there now. You know, obviously there's always the idiots, I will say, in Bills Mafia that think we should trade Tremaine. But yeah, I think he just said or Tremaine or Cody Ford would do it. Yeah, I think, you know, realistically, yeah, Tremaine and probably this year's first would probably get it done to move up to that spot. But I don't know. Are the Jets willing, like you said, are the Jets willing to give that up and, you know, get rid of a guy that they probably are going to need for the next at least 6 years because we just signed Stephon Diggs to an extension They need someone that can cover these guys, because with Josh being the quarterback in this division, I would imagine AFC East, other teams in the AFC East are going to go heavy defense this year in the first round.
Was his question, would we do it if it involved Tremaine or Cody Ford in the trade? Was that his question?
No, I think he was saying that it wouldn't necessarily be multiple first round picks if Tremaine came on, or if Tremaine in this year's flip flop, you know, if we give up Tremaine in this year's first.
Well, other teams are going to know he's got an expiring contract, so they know they're going to have to pay him. Like, it's.
That's also like the roll of the dice with that one too, is yeah, you're going to have to extend Tremaine. If you're trading for him, you got to be pretty sure you can extend him before.
And then if you trade him away and then you use that to acquire a corner, and then you don't have that first anymore to replace Tremaine. I mean, you could, whatever your opinion is on Tremaine is your opinion on Tremaine, but having Tremaine is better than having absolutely nothing there. So all of a sudden you have to replace Tremaine with a fourth, fifth round pick,
something,
and there's no guarantee that
they're not going to do that.
You can't say like, "Oh, Matt Milano." Well, you're not going to always get Matt Milano in the fifth round. So, I mean, it's an interesting take. I mean, if you do somehow end up with Sauce, I mean, yeah. I mean, great. If the Jets intend to take him at four, forget it. And then, other than that, it would be very pricey.
Plus, I don't think it's in McDermott's and Bean's philosophy. I really don't. Like, yeah, we do. I mean, I even say that our number one need is corner, but like, look at the cornerbacks that we have now, Dane Jackson, Taron Johnson. Like, you know, they're all like mid-round guys. The only standout. But yeah, Levi Wallace is a freaking undrafted guy. So they're able to choose.
Yeah, this is a good point that Tremaine, I'm assuming he's talking about Tremaine here, but he's going to price himself out of Buffalo. And the more accolades he gets, the higher the price. So this is actually a really good point. We don't have the money to pay everybody. So I do like that point that, yeah, if Tremaine could potentially play himself out of Buffalo.
I think Tremaine is definitely shoppable if that's what you're thinking of, and would teams want Tremaine and are willing to pay him, teams with money? Yeah. But I don't know if it's at the price of like, hey, we'll give you our top 10 pick for him. I know there's other stuff that will go in it. Like the Bills would obviously include pick 25 with that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm just saying that's what other teams are going to be taking into consideration is his contract situation.
Yeah. And I also don't know how stoked Bean would be to trade. I mean, I'm not trading him in the division. I'm trading him.
Right.
I see the Giants is another popular one because they have two first round picks.
So maybe
that's where we'd send a guy like Tremaine. I would not send him into the Jets. That's for sure.
No, that trade just wouldn't happen. With the Jets don't want us with Sauce, and the Bills don't want the Jets with Tremaine.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, so I don't know if any guys will follow the channel NFL Throwback on YouTube. It's honestly really great. You can watch like older videos, but they actually had a video talking about the hits, busts, and mez of the 2018 draft, right? And Tremaine Edmonds, they said it was a hit. And they not only mentioned the Pro Bowls, but they also mentioned like, you know, that his missed tackle rates are like, you know, that it's like he's really good at getting to a lot of tackle for losses, passes, defense, interceptions. Like everyone else is saying that the pick is a hit. It's only because that they're comparing him to Darius Leonard and the Roquan Smith, who are absolute ballers. Like, he's a good player, all right? Maybe not an amazing player, but he's I don't know why. I think people are hounding on it too. They're looking for something that really shouldn't be there.
I think he's like an enigma though. He's so like athletically gifted, right? He's like this freak athlete. He's tall, he's lean, he's fast, he's all these things. But I think anyone that watches him play, you can see there's definitely some mental lapses. You know, there's plays where he looks lost or he doesn't read it right. And it does question, you know, does he have that it factor that, you know, that you really want out of your middle, you know, these elite middle linebackers, you know? And he's good. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's not.
I just think it's unfair because, like, Darius Leonard is now, like, what, 25, 26? He came to the league at 22. Roquan Smith, same thing. Now they're both 25, 26. Now they're the best players. And same thing for Fred Warner. Like, Tremaine Edmonds is the age where most players get into the NFL, and he's 3 years in.
Yeah, I don't know though.
I get it. I don't want to tell Bills fans to be patient, but like Bean obviously knows what he's doing, okay? They're not looking to get rid of Edmonds. They're not.
I think the situation with Edmonds is, again, I think he's a good player that, you know, is not perfect, but I think he's in a situation where he's coming of contract time in a time where the Bills are in like all in mode, but it might line up to the point where a good player might have to leave because that's just how NFL salary caps and just how things go. I mean, look at DeForest Buckner on the Niners, who was an all-pro defensive tackle, has to get traded because they just can't pay him. It's not that they don't think he's good, yeah, but it just had to happen that way. Sometimes good players have – like good teams have to move on from good players just because they have to, and that might be a situation here. If it's in a trade on draft day, like we were just suggested to, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I would – you know, I would try to get as much value out of Tremaine until then.
I like this point too. This Joe, you guys making a lot of good points where he says that, you know, if Tremaine, the decision making, and that's some, you can see that, like you can see sometimes that he's not quite making, that he's not trusting himself. He's almost overthinking the play. And I do agree with that. This is not nitpicking Tremaine Evans. We've been pretty good and pretty vocal about showing support for Tremaine. You know, we yeah, like him. But there are some things that are concerning, you know, 3 years in. And I know the age thing. I'm actually overhearing about the age thing. He's played enough snaps where age shouldn't be a problem anymore. I think that, you know, if it's the decision-making thing, it's a mental thing. I don't know how much more you can get out of him. If he's not trusting his instincts, that's a cause for concern.
You know what I want to do one day? I want to, like, when we have not as much to talk about, I want to go back to that draft class,
yeah,
and see, like, who was kind of before or, like, right after Tremaine and see, like, would we be better off with anyone else there? Yeah, that'd be an interesting topic, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well,
like
sorry.
Like a what if.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Back to our
yeah, let's actually get back to what this episode's all about.
Is it me, third round?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So we all addressed this position in different rounds, and I'm going to go running back James Cook out of Georgia. So I got two Georgia guys in my first mock for the year. James Cook, he was in a kind of loaded backfield at Georgia. They kind of had a committee approach, kind of an NFL approach, if I'm being completely honest. He's obviously the younger brother of Dalvin Cook. I don't think he could run over people like his brother, but I think he's a very good back. He looks like, I mean, he doesn't really have that, oh my God, Saquon Barkley pop that like he had coming out of college, but he looks like a veteran player already. It's kind of hard to explain, but like he can catch. I mean, he caught a deep ball in the national title game, I'm pretty sure. And he's a very solid runner. I think he could do a lot of things. I think he had over 1,000 total scrimmage yards between receiving and rushing, obviously, in, again, a loaded backfield. I think he had, like, what was it? He had 11 total touchdowns. He had 1,000 yards total and then 11 total touchdowns, yeah. But, yeah, I think he's for third round or, like, maybe even if they trade up to late second round or early third round, I think that'd be a very good value pick. I think he could do a lot, and I think he could do in the right system, which I think this would be for him, where it wouldn't be like he's the main guy on the offense. I think he'd be very good out of the screen game, but I think he could also pound it when he has to.
Yeah, I like this pick. Hey, this is a good one too.
I also really like his teammate, Zamir White, too.
Yeah.
He's very versatile. He was actually one of my – I don't know, because like they just dominated that. Like we didn't really see much of them, but honestly, I think any of those picks would be absolute steals at that point. Because I feel like round three is going to be where those guys get picked, or round four, or one of those.
Yeah.
All right, my pick. So I decided to go a more practical route. I actually went offensive line. Chasen Hines out of LSU. And the whole reason why I picked him because he was he's ranked like around the third or fourth round, and his strength all across his college career was his run blocking. And if there's one thing that our offensive line really needs to fix is run blocking to really help move the sticks and to become more of a balanced offense is what we have to be, because while I didn't really his pass blocking is still good, but I really think that they're going to go in the direction of that because Josh Allen, you know, while pass blocking would be great, but like because of his mobility, they can kind of like go like, know what, his pass blocking skills needs a little bit more work, but it's completely fine because we have Allen who can like run around and do what he, you know, and you know, he improvises and all that. And the only thing that really hurt him is that his size, but I really think this is more of a more developing pick because there's a chance that, because I don't think that he would start right away, because obviously we just re-signed Ryan Bates and we just brought in Saffold from the Titans. But I really believe that Saffold was only like, know what, was just for a pure, we need a pure veteran on the line. And that was like the reason why we picked him up. And I love Saffold, but he had a lot of injury issues and there's no guarantee. And obviously we want there to be more depth on the line where we don't have to go to Cody Ford again. Or I've heard a lot of good things about Bodker, but like I really don't see a situation where like Bean and McDermott are okay with like keeping like that being in the same guard situation that we were a year ago. That's no discredit to Bates. That's no discredit, but I think they really want depth in this situation. And look, we picked up Spencer Brown when we technically didn't even need a tackle because we thought Darrell Williams was gonna be that guy for the future. And now look how that turned out. So I just think he's gonna, and plus like he's plug and play. He fell because due to some injury issues, but all like these scouts are saying like this guy is going to be an absolute steal in the third round. Anything, guys?
I got nothing on that one.
No, fuck you.
I don't know. I don't want another fat fuck on our team. So
wow,
Jesus Christ,
the disrespect.
Imagine the Chase Nines is on Twitter. Then he's like, oh, you know, they're talking about him. They called him a fat fuck. That's just nice. That's
love. True. Everyone does watch us. So that I definitely he's probably watching. Sorry, Jason. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, and Jalen from Baylor. If I know you're watching too in Texas, I'm sorry. I mispronounced your name probably.
All right. If no one's got anything, I got my last pick.
Okay.
My last pick, I did decide to go on the defensive side of the ball here, with Cam Taylor Britt, the corner from Nebraska. I feel like this might be a little early to take him, but that's something that we can talk about for a different day. I like his size. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds. He hits, he tackles. You know, there's just some stuff. This guy to me, when I watched my YouTube videos of him, he just stood out. You know, he just seems to kind of have that like it factor you look for. I think, you know, a lot of people have graded him a little bit deeper in the draft than where I'm taking him. This would be the third round. So, I think he's projected like late third, early fourth, but I like him here. I think He fits, you know, hard-nosed football player. You know, I like his size. I like a 6 foot corner. So, I don't got much else to say about him. Just give me a big corner. I like big bodies, if you can't tell.
I love it.
So,
I'll watch his tape.
Again, like I said in the beginning, we all wanted to take a different perspective on this just to bring some versatility to the whole draft thing. Again, these things are crazy. You never know how they're going to go. You could end up picking a guy that you had no idea that even the teams themselves might not have any idea that they were going to end up taking that guy, but that might end up being the best player available. And that's what teams do. They take the best player available. They're not going to just reach for a need. So it really can go either way. We all wanted to take a different approach. So each pick wasn't necessarily like what we think should be the top need. It's just who might be the best player available in different situations. So that's what we wanted to do. Again, just because we said it doesn't mean that we know more than you or you know more than us. Doesn't mean we don't have any inside information. So you don't have to threaten to kill us and our families if you don't agree with this.
I mean, if people are threatening to kill their families over draft picks,
Bill's mom.
I guess you can't be surprised.
But thank you to Joey for interacting. We like that. We want more of that. If you guys are watching, you want to ask questions,
please do.
On the live stream, please go for it. We insist. And if they trade up for Sauce, Joey, you get to come on the show.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we'll let him come on.
We can't give you any money, though.
You get to take a spot for a week.
I love it. But yeah, I mean.
But you do get to come on the show.
Yeah, and it's fun because, like, you know, this was a good take. And all, you know, all that and different perspectives. I think next week when we do, next week we're going to do picks 1 through 16. We're going to do a no trade mock draft over the next 2 weeks. Just because we don't want to have to keep you guys, you know, who's going to watch a live stream for 2 hours. But so we're going to do picks 1 through 16, no trades. You know, obviously with no trades, could be a little off, but we'll do it. Assuming there will be no trades, we'll give you guys the best. Yeah. Prediction we possibly can. I am definitely no Mel fucking Kiper. So,
I mean, we know there are going to be trades, but at the same time, the same teams might end up with the same players anyway. So,
that's happening. Never know. Yeah.
But I'm excited. I think it's a fun time of year. There's so many people, you know, covering the draft. And you know, I think we give a unique perspective because we definitely don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
No, this is the best time of the year. If you guys don't watch mock drafts right after work, I don't know what you're doing with your time.
Yeah.
No clue.
That's all I got, guys. I think, you know, obviously if you like what you see, we're gonna go live a lot more. Tuesday nights will be our night. It was a little different because I have a sick kid, but follow us at 71 Blitz. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. We'll be uploading more stuff there. And then when we launch when we finally get a hold of our slippery Italian cousin Carmine, his videos will be exclusive on our YouTube channel. And he's gonna be a fuck, that's for sure. If you like spaghetti and meatballs, you're gonna like them. Definitely subscribe to us on YouTube for that stuff. Follow us on 7-1 Blitz, interact with us. We're always interacting. As always, go Bills. Doug, give them the rest.
And remember to follow and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And by the way, here on out, episodes will actually be available first thing the next day. Going along with the streaming these days where something goes so right there, so you have access to the episode right away. So that will actually be up. So that will actually be up around midnight tonight. And we'll definitely go from there. And of course, remember to follow and subscribe to us on our platforms, either at the back of White Bronco, right at the NFL Draft in Las Vegas, Electric Avenue. Anywhere you can listen to get your premier Bills content on Trainwreck Sports. This train never stops.
Oh, yeah, train never stops, baby.
Doug, look at you. Moving up.
Yeah, I know.
Moving up.
Proud of you.
I got a salary raise.
You're fired.
I now moved to my garage.
All right, guys. And remember, we are the only Blitz in Buffalo.
Don't forget it.
That's right.
Buffalo equals 716.
Thanks, Doug. Are you everything I was proud of you for?
End the broadcast. We're fucking done here.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll see you next week.
Go Bills.
Peace out, table breakers.